the metaverse, and so you're talking about technology that was at one point in time just referred to as virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality, and now they've added Web3.
Welcome to the AI Decodes the System podcast. I'm your host, Amber Ivy, also known as AI. AI Decodes the System is a series of podcast interviews with industry experts and everyday people who will help explain topics related to policy, tech, data, law, and other current issues in plain language. The goal of this podcast is to help close the knowledge gap in a world that's moving fast and inundated with a lot of information. So sit back, grab your notebook, and enjoy the show.
Bianca J. Jackson is an award-winning entrepreneur and project manager that owns Brick Rose Exchange, a collaborative space that engages communities in person and in the metaverse. Her background in tech, digital marketing, and social impact has landed her coveted speaking opportunities at South by Southwest, Digital Summit Philadelphia, and Tech Inclusion New York. Her work has been featured in such publications as Forbes, Washington Post, and Tech Republic. One of her metaverse projects, US Today's The Wall VR, won a Pulitzer Prize in 2018. Hello, Bianca. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amber. How are you?
I am so psyched to have you here. Hopefully you know that.
I do know that, and I'm excited to be here as well.
Like, it's crazy because I love bringing people on this show that can talk about topics that are relevant. When I've looked at the work that you've been doing in the background, someone needs to talk about the metaverse. Bianca is the right person. I know when we first met, I had signed up to join Brick Rose Exchange, and I remember hosting an in-person event pre-COVID. Back then, I loved the model, and I was like, this is so cool what you were building. Can you talk to the audience and tell them, what is Brick Rose Exchange, and why did you create it?
Oh, man. I want to say right now, Brick Rose is a community. We first started off as an event space, right? And what I realized, especially during COVID, we could do so much more for people, you know, people in Baltimore. And so we started doing more social impact work. And so while we have a physical space, I'm going to talk about it more as like a community, a social club, a social impact club, like all of those things, because all of those things are very important to me in the work that we do. And so with COVID, we had to pivot, right? Like we lost 30% of our bookings overnight. And we spent the last 2 years just trying to figure out how to stay afloat, try different things. And now what was really important was identifying a service that would transcend any pandemic, any crisis. And so that's why we entered the metaverse. So yeah, we're all of those things that I mentioned.
That is amazing. And I love that you say it's like a community, a social impact space. And even when I remember doing my event there, that's what I was trying to do, something around social impact. So to see that it's grown and continues to grow into a space where people can exist, not just an event space, but a community, I think that is really critical as we think about what metaverse is. And we'll get to that in a second. But as we talk about the future of community and how that can look in these virtual worlds, I've been watching how you've pivoted your business model due to our COVID reality. How did you make these decisions and what did you do to prepare yourself for the shift?
Oh, wow. Well, let me just tell you, sometimes you don't make the decisions make themselves and you just got to go with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, essentially what happened, I actually just recapped this for one of my friends. It's like the first year of COVID, we weren't great, we were good, right? Like we had some savings, we had some financial instruments that we could leverage, and we kind of wrote it out thinking like, oh, this is only going to last a year. Second year kicking, it was like, holy moly.
That's real.
Ending, right? And so what did we do? And so there was a month close to the end of 2020 where we did the lowest, probably one of the lowest months ever. And I seriously considered, did it make financial sense keeping Brick Rose open?
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, and it happened around the same time that I lost one of my cousins, not necessarily due to COVID, but he just died unexpectedly. So you think trying to figure out how to survive a pandemic, how to deal with unexpected death in your family. And so my sales manager, that was her older brother, right? So we're cousins.
Oh, wow.
And mm-hmm. So it's like a double whammy for both of us, right? And dealing with one of the lowest months of just revenue for the business, it's just like, well, maybe we need to pack this whole thing up because it don't look like COVID is ending anytime soon. And so we get to December, and I remember talking to one of my business coaches about, hey, I think I might try out the metaverse. And so he asked me a bunch of questions and he was like, Bianca, you've been sitting on this whole time. I'm like, yeah, like, I didn't think anything of it. And so in working for USA Today many, many moons ago, almost 6 years at this point, this is technology that I've known for a really long time. And most people didn't even pay attention until Facebook changed its name to Meta. When they changed their name to Meta, the
world, you got that right.
Right? The world was, Metaverse, what is it? And that's what happened. And the really funny thing for me and everyone who's been in it for a while is like, all right, so they rebranded it. Kind of like when you go to new cities and gentrification happens and they give an old neighborhood a new name. So
people are
active to move in. That's exactly what happened with the metaverse. And so you're talking about technology that was at one point in time just referred to as virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality. And now they've added Web3, worrying about blockchain, NFTs, DAOs, and all this other stuff. So I think it's been really fascinating to see how everybody is losing their mind over it. But I just want to tell them that there's nothing to lose their mind about. And so kind of getting back to how we got here, right? So in telling my coach, I was like, yeah, I think we're going to do events in the metaverse. He was like, do it and execute it at the end of the month. So I like a good challenge, right? I like a good challenge. So I was like, okay, we're going to throw this out here. We were already having an art show at the end of the year. I was like, well, we can take the digital representation of the physical pieces and put it in the metaverse inside an art gallery. Mm-hmm. So we had a metaverse art gallery that went along with our physical art gallery. And so it was really successful. And I did something that was really cool that I didn't have a chance to do before, which was actually have collectors meet the artists inside the metaverse. So now no one had the excuse of like, well, I'm not going there because it's COVID, or I'm not even in Baltimore. Like, there was no excuse. So that was the first indication to me that we were on to something. And so I went to the lab. I went to the lab in the month of January and was just like, all right, what could this really look like for us as an ongoing service? And so we came up with training, kind of like a one-on-one teaching people like, what is the metaverse? Then the second layer was like, all right, how can we talk to business owners and get them to imagine and reimagine what their business could look like in the metaverse? Then another level was, all right, helping them build out their own event spaces so that they can actually monetize their own events. And then another level was actually running activations for them, right? Running events for them. And so we've been fortunate enough to work with like Black Women Talk Tech, Barner X, Gary Vee's company. We've done a networking event for Booz Allen Hamilton. We had a speaker series with the Pride Center in Maryland. Let me just tell you, all of this was an experiment for me. And I think sometimes when we face crisis, and sometimes even when we don't face crisis, we sit too long thinking about what we should be doing instead of then just jumping out there and like, all right, let me just see what will happen if I just try. And so that's what we did. And so in that try, our first quarter of 2022, in comparison to our first quarter of 2021, we outperformed it by 208%.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And amazing. I was like, wait, I felt like a drug dealer. I was like, I gotta push this work. I just think that sometimes I'm glad that I'm one of those people that just really likes to execute. Like when I get really clear on what I'm doing, I'm on go mode, right? And so that's what we did. And we saw revenue numbers that were just insane that we're not used to seeing in the event space industry. So normally anyone who's in events, normally you'll see somewhat of a slowdown, especially if you have a venue or something. You see that slowdown possibly starts to happen unless you have like this massive venue. Towards Thanksgiving, Christmas, if people aren't doing events outside their homes, they do it in their homes or a family home or whatever, or a hotel or whatever. And so you start to see that slowdown. And even it doesn't really start to pick back up until maybe like February when people are planning things for like May, June, kind of like that 2 to 3 window before. And so that money helped us cover a lull that we're used to seeing and also just really put us on a path and be put out there as a leader in this space. And so I see people checking out our Instagram. I'm like, oh, what they doing over there?
I love it. But
yeah, I'm just really excited about what is next for us on the horizon. And like I told you before the recording happened, you're one of the few people who saw what I was doing and got it. How many conversations I've had with people like, wait, you're not going to do the event space anymore? Like, you're not having live events? Like, what does the metaverse have to do with what you're doing? And I was like, so I would have to sit down and try to educate people. But I'm like, all of it is connected. Whether you catch it or not, that's up to you. We still going to make this money.
Yeah.
And so So that's how we got here.
The crazy part is that as soon as you pivoted, I was like, genius. Like, immediately, that's what I thought of. Because a lot of folks during like COVID, especially folks who were doing events, a lot of people went out of business during that time. And I had been watching you at a distance like, oh man, I hope they were successful. I saw that you were trying to do things around co-working and things like that. But when you hit the metaverse, I was like, this is it. We were talking about earlier before the recording, and I'll share it with the audience so they can hear it. I have two nieces, 1 7, 1 2. The 7-year-old lives on things like Roblox, right? Well, although it's not the metaverse, it's a place where you're playing as a character in this world. She loves those type of games. And the thing that we were talking about before is that, like, the kids of the generation, whatever they're called at this point, I don't know if my niece is a Z or a Z plus or whatever they're going to call them, but that generation lives, that generation lives in a different world, and they want to interact in a different world. They want to create avatars. They want to create these alternative realities. But what you said was very key is that a lot of people didn't understand the connection. How would you explain the metaverse in plain language? Imagine you're talking to my 2-year-old or my 7-year-old niece.
The funny thing is that Roblox is the metaverse.
Right? I didn't even know that's considered metaverse.
Yeah, it is. So think about the metaverse as a space, right? Most of it happens, well, most people who interact with it on a virtual level, right? So in some type of virtual world or platform where you can build things, you can share what you're building, you can trade what they normally refer to as assets, right?
Yep.
So it's a general word, trading assets. You can buy assets. And so in, let's just take Roblox. So for the kids that are in there, they're creating avatars, they're personalizing their look, they're expressing themselves, right? Mm-hmm. In a way that they may not feel like they can do in real life, right? So that's the first thing, being able to show up authentically as yourself in this virtual environment. And then they go out and they make friends. friends with other people's avatars, right? And then not only are they making friends through their avatars, they're building worlds, they're building games together. And then if you get suckered into this, they might tell you they need money for Robux. They can buy stuff, right? And so that's commerce. And so something as simple as a place where you can go that's virtual, where you can be whoever you want and express yourself however you want, meet your friends wherever they are around the world, build things together, build games together, and buy things. That literally is the metaverse. And so what I think is really interesting is that for years, people who didn't get gaming really were hard on children about gaming, right? Oh my God, you're taking forever. You're taking so long. You've been playing that game all day long, right? Not knowing that their kids were being trained for the new economy.
Well, that's so real.
Yeah. And so I just would want anyone listening here, like if you have nieces and nephews and grandsons and granddaughters and your own children who play these games, Roblox, Sandbox, whatever these platforms, sit down and have them show you what they're doing. And so they'll be really excited to show you. And then you'll start to see the correlations of what is happening in there and where this is going. There's already conversations and actually governing bodies across the world who are trying to figure out how to build new global systems with cryptocurrency. And so all of this is important, right? It's important for the reason that you had mentioned about your artist friends who are maybe a little hesitant to join the metaverse. But I'm going to just tell everybody here, if you don't think it got anything to do with you, well, congratulations, because you're going to get not just left out, but you're going to be last, and all that opportunity that was available to you will disappear. And so one of the things that I really try to tell us, right, unrepresented founders, Black people, brown people, just people are normally in marginalized communities, that Web3 technology and metaverse technology is one of our last shots to really shift massive generational wealth.
That's so true.
For me personally, I've been having conversations around whether or not Brick Rose needs like VC investment, right? VC funding. And I mean, by the grace of God, I will do everything that I can to leverage Web3 technology so that I can raise whatever funds I need and not have to go down the VC route. And so I already know how I can do it. I just need to like put the infrastructure in place. And that meeting already kicked off this last week. But I just I just want to encourage, urge, sound the alarm to anyone listening to this. It's like, don't let the language scare you. Don't let the language intimidate you. Don't let anybody out there on the internet intimidate you from learning as much as you can, because that's a tactic. One of the biggest things that I've learned over the last year, and it was an epiphany for me, and I'm pretty sure this already, is that a lot of times we're kept out of things due to language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up language. And even when you start looking at the VC world, the language in it is so nonsense, in my personal opinion. Like, if they really said what half this stuff really is, you'd be like, oh, that's what it is?
Yep.
Right? Like, oh, that means I haven't made money yet? Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really mind-boggling to me. But getting back to the point, which is, I just want everyone listening here, even if you don't know where to start, I always say this in every interview that I'm in, just Google Metaverse plus whatever it is that you do, Web3 plus whatever it is that you do. So if it's podcasting, if it's law, if it's financial advising, do that so that you can get an idea of what has already been done, so that you can have some inspiration, or you can come to one of my classes and I can tell you or show you some examples of what people are doing, so that kind of like the little inspiration bubble pops up on top of your head. You're like, okay, what if we do this? And so I just want to inspire people to hit the Google search bar, put down the TikTok videos search bar, and really figure out how you can change your life and how you can change your business, how you can change your career, because there are a lot of opportunities, from job opportunities to business opportunities. There's so many different elements of the metaverse that there's not just one way to get in. Another thing I want to mention is that Facebook is not the metaverse.
It is not. That for sure is not.
It's just one. It's just one place to go. There are literally thousands. And so right now there's no clear view. We're like in the wild, wild west days of the internet back in the 90s. And so it'll be a while before somebody emerges the winner, but all of that is going to depend on your interaction, right? And so that's why I'm saying right now, for people of color, underrepresented, get in now so that other people aren't deciding for us what we will be using in 20 years.
That is so true on so many levels. I need to like point to a few things you said, because you were dropping nuggets, dropping gems. A few things you said. So one of the first things that I'm recalling as I'm thinking about the different points you're making is around, one, underrepresented communities being left behind. Back to the internet early days, and a lot of us didn't even get on until later. This is that next version of that. And I don't know if there's a next version coming very soon after that. Because with Web3 and all the stuff that is going on with Metaverse, it's so big that the gap could be almost insurmountable if we don't figure it out. Like, I know for me, I know, like you said, it's the wild, wild west. I invest in a lot of random cryptocurrencies. Let me not say random. I invest in ones that I believe in and projects that I believe in. Mostly Metaverse projects, because I do think those are going to hit. And I invest in the ones that I think actually have viability in places where I would want to hang out and be a part of. But that is a really critical thing for us to do our research, because I feel like a lot of times we wait until it's like already adopted by other folks, or it's all over the place and it's too late to really like make real money off of it. But now, even though it is something that is pretty vast and a lot of people are talking about, it's still a small group of people that are having these conversations. So I'm glad you said things like Metaverse plus your industry. Like, there are people right now working in the Metaverse in different jobs, and folks don't even know that. I'm like, they're literally like phone operators in the Metaverse, or lawyers in the Metaverse. There are people who are figuring some things out today, not in the future, but like right now. So I think it is really critical for people of color to really figure that out. And to the point you made about VCs, where that language is almost like, it's not plain language. Like, that's one reason I have my podcast, is to break things down in a way that anybody can understand, can make it simple, can make it seem like it's something that you can achieve, because it is hard out here if you're trying to get into a new industry and you don't know what to search or where to start. So thank you for calling that stuff out. But the reality is, there's probably going to still be some skeptics, even though you had a lot of good gems that you dropped. For the skeptics who believe the metaverse is just a buzzword or not going to last past this year and past folks being bored in COVID, what do you think people need to keep a close eye on to really realize its viability?
So if you could see my face, my eyes rolled. And here's why. I actually posted earlier this year, I saw it on someone else's timeline, an article from like 1994, 93, somewhere in the early 90s, where there were a gang of people talking about the internet was a fluke. The internet was not going away. The internet was going to steal their information. And we can't do anything with the internet. We can't do anything without the internet now. The same thing is going to happen. Like I said, they're building new economies, like literally
new
economies in this space. And so one thing I wanted to make sure that I said, because you talked about cryptocurrency, if you don't have Hedera on your list, Amber, put it on there.
Adding it right now.
Yeah, Hedera is probably one of the quieter cryptocurrencies, but what's happening is there is a whole global council of like 32 companies. I know Google is one of the council members for this 32 or 64 council board.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where they're trying to figure out how to build it in a way that is sustainable and beneficial to the global economy. So, and they pick particular cryptocurrency. So that is one to watch. And I've met plenty of developers who are developing on that platform.
Oh, good to know. Thank you, man.
Yeah, no problem. So as far as naysayers and what they should be watching for, I would say watch the kids. Watch the kids. They tell you that with any industry. If you want to know what's hot and what's upcoming, ask your children. And someone gave me really great stock advice a long time ago. It's like, if you want to know what stock to invest in, pay attention to what your kids are playing with.
That is so real. Yep.
Yeah, so they just seem to know about things way before we do. I remember, what was it, Beyonce? I feel like I'd be talking about Beyonce every time Web3 comes up, but there's always like a good lesson in there, right? I think there was one story that I heard about Beyonce where she had no idea who J Balvin was, right? Who they wound up doing a song with. Her daughter was singing the song, one of his songs. And she asked her, like, who is this? And she told her. And then next thing, J Balvin is on a Beyonce song. So it's just like,
He was
already hot, I want to say, in the Latin American market. But now he has global international success because why? Beyonce's daughter was listening to him and Beyonce had no idea who he was. And so I think it's the same principle here when it's coming to emerging technology. Just really pay attention to what kids are gravitating to. The other thing, too, is the fact that a lot of younger people are leaving Facebook. And
they're out.
Interest. Now I know Facebook. Facebook is trying to do some damage control because they really want their Meta Quest and Horizon Worlds to be successful. But we'll see what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're changing the sign-on requirements. I was actually surprised when I got my headset earlier this year that I had to connect my Facebook account to it. And I was like, wait, whoa, like, why I got to do that? And so I think that they're taking that requirement off in the new one, but we'll see. So I would say pay attention to what the kids are paying attention to. Do the Google search, Metaverse Plus, whatever you do, Web3 Plus, whatever you do to get some inspiration. And let that be your starting point. Come to a class like mine so that you can hear about how this is even applicable to you. I don't want people to sit back thinking like, oh, this don't got nothing to do with me. It has something to do with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Really figure that out now. Get out there, start testing some stuff before it becomes like a mainstream thing. And so that you'll be able to flex on people like, well, I've been doing this for 7 months now. And they're like, I just got started last night. Right?
Real life.
I just think that there's just something powerful about people just getting in and just starting. And like, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to have this multi-million dollar business by tomorrow, the next day you wake up. But you just never know what could happen. And so even for me, we hit a milestone recently. And I was like, this is awesome, considering that COVID almost took us out. Now I'm on path to like figure out how we get this company to a million, right?
There we go.
I have a couple of ideas of how that's possible. It's going to take me actually sitting down and actually executing it. And so I'm going to do what I need to do because I want to hit that million. So I'm not going to sit down and wait for somebody to tell me what platform they think is good for me and what I do. I'm just going to try different ones out and be in different places to figure out what makes sense for me and my audience.
That is amazing. So many things in there as well. pieces around folks thinking about the old internet and like all the fear around that and what's happening. Like, it's such a reality that kids are in this space. Thank you for explaining Roblox was the metaverse. I didn't even connect it to that. So that the Roblox and these other places, I know Sandbox, My Neighbor Alice, like all these other things that are out there. But it's amazing that these kids are already in it and they're active in it. Like, Roblox has went up. Like, if you would have bought Roblox stock some time ago, like that, I don't know about right now because of the crashes, but Roblox stock was heading up and then all these other things were going up because of that. And thinking about all the stuff around just like streaming with Twitch and all these other different companies, like the kids are really in a different world. And I'm glad that you were able to call out some of those key points, because I don't want people to get left behind. And that's another reason for this podcast. I want people to learn about stuff so then they can take whatever industry they are in and apply it. Like, the reality is the future of our world is data, technology, law is always going to exist, and government is always going to exist. So those are the topics I talk about, because I don't want specifically people of color to be left behind, because I do think that that's something we just aren't aware of when it comes to certain spaces. So I'm so thankful that you shared that. Another thing I wasn't aware of is that one of your projects won a Pulitzer Prize. Like, one, that is amazing.
Thank you.
Like, I'm like, when I read that, I was like, wait, what? Okay. And I think I saw it on either your bio or something beforehand, or somewhere online where I had read it before we even planned the interview. But that's just amazing. But can you talk a bit about what is Wall VR and how did you all win that award?
Well, let me start with even this, right? Just real quick. I think that generally it took me a long time to even tell people about it. I felt like, I don't know, I had a little bit of imposter syndrome around it.
And
it took a lot of my friends is like, B, I need you to stop tripping, because like more people need to know about this. It's like, this is not like some normal stuff, right? And so as I started to wrap my arms around the idea of like, yeah, this happened, right? Like, and I completely earned this recognition with the team. And it's like, all right, I feel good about it now, right? How it happened, I was assigned to a team. The project manager for the team was let go. Like, we had, what do they call it? Layoffs. When they mm-hmm. cut workforce, I can't think of the name. And so anyway, I was one of the project managers that made it through the cut. And so the team still needed a project manager. And so my boss was like, hey, do you want to manage the Fruit Ninja team? There's a whole Fruit Ninja story that I have that I tell people. One day I was leaving the office and I just see these guys playing Fruit Ninja on VR. And I was like, what is that? They're like, you want to play? And I was like, sure. So I'm like swinging imaginary swords.
Right.
And that was my first introduction to them. Right. So it was really cool. So then fast forward a week later, she was like, do you want to manage the emerging tech team? I said, the Fruit Ninja team. And we both start laughing. She goes, yeah. And so I always liken the experience to, it was like being asked to manage the U.S. ski team without ever stepping on snow. So I had to research a lot of stuff, right? Like the VR, AR, LiDAR, photogrammetry, what content was already out there. And one of the things that just really stuck with me for a long period of time and still sticks with me to this day, as I did my research and just really tried to find content, I didn't find much content that had us in it. And I mean us as in Black and brown people represented in a good light. What I will tell you I found was very unsavory content, and I won't get into the details of it. Mm-hmm. But there's certain industries that always seem to be always at the forefront of everything, but that's a conversation for another day. And so anyway, in dealing with that team and in researching and traveling with them, doing activations, we built three products while I was there. And so the last one was an experience, which is the Wall VR, where we led with storytelling and art. So essentially we modeled the terrain from California to Texas from footage from a helicopter. And so we use LiDAR data and photogrammetry to really get the scale right. And so along the border, you would hear stories and watch interviews of people just sharing their versions or their perspective of what was happening. So we told the story from a place of or beyond the narrative of just immigrants jumping over a fence, but really humanizing them, right? Talked about endangered species, eminent domain, rape, unfortunately, border control, drugs.
Right.
I mean, literally every topic that you would think of that would touch the border, we told that story. I just remember having a conversation one day where we were discussing just different pieces of media to put in. And we had to have a really hard conversation about dead bodies, right? And how we felt like not responsible to put images of, unfortunately, really brave men and women who risked their lives to walk thousands of miles, right? For a chance at a different life who just didn't make it, right? And so I think a lot of times when we hear these stories, we forget that these are people, that some of them they were hungry, they were without water, some were without shoes, or they had holes in their shoes, some got attacked by animals, some got attacked by people. Like, I mean, like I'm getting emotional as I'm even talking about it. Like, so let me try to wrap this up. It was a really important project, and we did it because the story needed to be told. At the same time that we released our product, the timeline was to release it before they voted on funding for the wall, like as government. So this was designed to influence. Let's be very clear, right? That's what it was designed to do. It wasn't designed to win a Pulitzer, but it did. And so we put out the piece with the expectation and the hope that when people downloaded it, they really got a sense of what it would be like to try to make this trek. And so it was probably single-handedly one of the most important projects that I've ever worked on in my life, because it was not only innovative, it was collaborative. Our team was the epitome. Like, if you looked up DE&I in a dictionary, we were that team. Like, everybody's voice and opinion. Yeah, everybody's voice and opinion matter. And we look like the United Nations, right? Like, we were
all, I love it.
Yeah, different ethnic backgrounds, different ages, different religious beliefs, different political beliefs, but we came together to tell this story, and it was just so beautiful. And so when it dropped and I talked about it, and I continue to talk about it to this day, because it's a piece of work that I'm really proud of. Mm-hmm. And I hope that the landing page is still up. So if anyone wants to Google The Wall VR USA Today, you'll be able to see at least the landing page and some of the screenshots from the experience. I'm not sure if it's still on Vive or not, or Steam, I should say, Steam, where you can download it into a Vive. I'm not even sure they make that version of Vive anymore, but because it was like 6 years, not 6 years.
Right.
Yeah, because how fast technology changes.
Stuff moves. Exactly.
Yeah. And so it was such a beautiful project, especially from just being able to do justice by people who risked their lives for freedom. And so I think it's a journey that most people in this country, especially if you're from a marginalized community or from a community where you fought tooth and nail for everything that you have, I think it's a story that everybody can identify with in some way, or hopefully that they at least can empathize.
Man, that's a very touching story. I didn't realize it did all the things you mentioned. And to be able to tell the story of migrant folks trying to escape persecution, whatever it is that's going on in their country, poverty, and to be able to see that in this immersive experience, like, kudos to you all for even coming up with the idea. I also love what you said around having a team that looked like the United Nations. I think a lot of times people think about diversity, equity, inclusion, and think of a lack or if they're losing something, when in reality, when you have all those perspectives in a room, you actually gain so much more. And I imagine that contributed to this amazing project, because you had all these different point of views coming together to rally around this project. So amazing work. That's beautiful. And please tell that story, like, wear that on the back of your shirt, because that is amazing in so many ways. And that is a huge, like, that's one of the top accomplishments that most folks will never even get anywhere near it. So I just want to say kudos to you again. I know imposter phenomenon is real, but amazing work. I know for me, every time I see you win a pitch competition or funds for your small business, I'm like getting excited. I'm rooting for you. And I love seeing your dreams become reality. And thank you for sharing that story. Some of the folks that listen to my podcast are folks who are trying to do exactly what the different guests are doing within their line of work. What would you tell a listener who's interested in venturing into the metaverse space? Like, outside of Googling, like, how do you do it? Like, how do you actually get into it if I really want to start a company or business similar to what you've done with Brick Rose Exchange?
I would say come holler at me.
There you go. And your class.
come to the class. That would definitely be the first thing. But I think another thing that you could do is just really visit the different platforms. Each platform gives you a different feeling, a different vibe. There's a different community. So it's just, think about it as being very similar to social media, right? Twitter has its own base. Twitter, in my opinion, don't laugh at me. Twitter for me is, these are the people who like to talk in like a megaphone. I just
want ma'am, to talk stuff. Somebody can you like, say it again for the people in the back?
That's how I look at
Twitter. I hate Twitter. I feel like all the people who wanted to talk are just talking and everybody else is just listening. Oh my God, I hate Twitter. I'm up there, but God, I hate Twitter. Sorry, Twitter. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Listen, so I got a Twitter account. Do I check it? No, because that ain't my community, right? Then you got like Clubhouse where everybody's an expert, right? Well, and I do this and I...
If I...
and then you got... But Facebook for me is like all the old heads, right? So this is
all my friends from high school and college, yeah.
Yeah, you stay on there because your aunties, your grandmother want to see your pictures. They want to be all up in your vacation. And then like the younger
there people, you
like,
go.
Who I talk to Nana when I go home, right? And so in comparing that to the metaverse and metaverse environments, every place has its own vibe, right? And so Decentraland has its own vibe. Sandbox has its own vibe. Crypto Voxels has its own vibe. What's the one that had the meta church? IMVU or something. It has its own vibe. Spatial has its own vibe. And so I think that it just takes visiting as many places. Horizon World has its own vibe. So it takes visiting these different places and figuring out where you feel comfortable setting up and building. And so I know, like, for instance, I've just given an example. Snoop Dogg was one of the first artists to set up on Sandbox, right? And so yep. Because he set up there, a lot of people ran to that platform because sure like, oh, it was here. And so I went there because Snoop Dogg was there. Not that I have virtual real estate there, but there are some spaces you can just go visit, right? And so Decentraland and Sandbox are places that you can actually get to on your computer. And so yep. I went there and checked it out. I was like, hey, not really my vibe, right? So I left. But I think that it just takes some exploration. The good thing is that we're still really early in this thing where we're still building. No one really can tell you definitively what the metaverse is. And kind of like the same thing with the internet. Most people couldn't explain what the internet
was. That's fair. Yep.
They just couldn't. And so it took, I want to say, even now, you say internet, people know what you mean, but now it's 20 years later. The same thing will happen with the metaverse.
Wow, that's so real. And I was interested in Sandbox before Snoop, but I was excited when Snoop got involved in it because I'm like, anywhere where people who have a name come, this could mean something good. But yeah, I'm also interested in Decentraland and a few of the others, but it is good just to know that you can try out a few places. And I'm glad you called out the sites that you can actually get to, like from your desktop or whatever, because I think that's also critical because a lot of people are like, well, how do I get to the metaverse? Or thinking about when Facebook changed its name to Meta. They were smart with the branding because they've been struggling a bit on the front of losing users and things like that. And then the ad revenue going down due to Apple's move with changing the privacy stuff. So I know they had to make different shifts to figure it out. But it's not, like you said, it's not Facebook. There's a lot of different places that are popping up everywhere. And I love what you say around finding a place that fits you and that's your vibe. Because you may not like a Sandbox or Decentraland or these other places. You may want to go on to another platform. So trying things out, I think, is a really big, big and key point. And I also want to tell folks, you're not too old to be in the metaverse. Basically, all the kids who are the parents told them to get off the computers and didn't are the ones who built these spaces and are the ones who created a world that worked for them because often they were left behind. And so I love that all the what used to be called nerds and geeks are now running the world. So I give mad props to all the gamers and all the computer scientists that are building this world and for the new generation is already getting involved in it. So I think this is a cool space. I think it's a cool topic. And I know we talked about a lot of different things. And I just really appreciate the time you've spent with us today touching on the metaverse, on the things that you've done as a business owner. And I just think it's just amazing all the things that you've done. And I want to continue to say congratulations. And I know you're going to hit that million. I don't have to worry about you. Like I've been watching. I'm like, oh, yeah, she got it. Because like you said, when you hit your first 100,000, your million is right after that. So you will be on your way. I just want you to leave the audience with a few final thoughts. Firstly, feel free to share anything about your classes that you offer and go into a little bit more detail about that. We'll drop it in the show notes. But also, why do you think this is important. And I want you to end that as open-ended as you want it and interpret that question how you see fit to be able to say whatever it is you want to leave the audience with.
So let me just tell you this. I won't even tell you why I think it's important. I'm going to tell you what Magic Johnson said to me last week, right? So
I did see him in the video. Let's go.
So I will drop my little shoddy cell phone video of me asking my question. And so recently, Magic Johnson acquired an esports metaverse team, right? So I knew this. I didn't know that everybody in the conference knew it. So I asked him the question. I said, congratulations on acquiring a team. I said, but I want to know, I already knew the answer, but I wanted him to tell everybody in the audience. I want to know, why'd you do that deal right now? And essentially said, he said it was the future. That a lot of times we as Black people normally wait and we get left behind when we something new happens. And he said, congratulated me on being in the space, and he congratulated himself on being in the space. And he was like, because of us and because of others like us, we won't be behind. And he was like, you know, thinks is really important. Now, if Magic Johnson, who is a multi-millionaire, right, who has tons of companies, has done a really great job of acquiring companies and exiting within 3 to 5 years or whatever it is that he's doing, he has identified the metaverse as an opportunity that he was willing to put down his own money for. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, you know, Jay-Z has already been investing in the metaverse. He's working with Nipsey Hussle's old CTO, so a young man named Idris Sandu. So there's tons of people doing this work behind the scenes. They may not always put their projects out there, but I just want to tell you this. I know what I know. I knew it 6 years ago, and I still know it today. And I've made it my mission to tell the everyday person like you and me what's happening behind the scenes that may not make news because it's not the Kardashians, right? I think that it's really important that when you see something, you're just like, okay, what is this? And I think NFTs and Web3 got a bit of a bad handshake because of the metaverse in Web3 got a bad handshake because of NFTs. People saw,
yeah,
why would you pay $400,000 for a picture, right? And like, people were like, that's stupid. Like, they just fucking did it.
Or virtual land.
Yeah, but I will tell you this, virtual land actually has its place. That may
come. I think it has value, but I also think depending on the NFT project, it has value too, but that's a whole nother podcast.
Yes, it is a whole nother podcast, but the virtual land made sense to me right out the gate. The NFTs, I was like, I got to study this a little bit more to really what's going on. But I will say this, the next generation of NFTs will have a lot of utility, and you'll hear people talking about that utility in a sense of people can use it to go do something. Like, for instance, the really big Bored Ape collection, they release something. Yep. They release ApeCoin, like their own cryptocurrency for people who hold the NFT. They had a pop-up restaurant, I want to say in California, where people who had that coin can come eat for free or at a discount. The, nice. The restaurant was only going to be a pop-up. It did so well that it's going to be... They're leaving it there. Like, it's going to be a thing. Like,
oh, wow.
So I'm just telling you, like, if you're starting to see these applications where something online is giving you access to something in person, pay attention, because that's some of the work that we'll be doing at Brick Rose. The rest of this year is going to look a lot different than the beginning. And people are going to be like, over there. And the one thing that I've just really had to tell myself, especially about Baltimore specifically, is that when I got here in 2018, 2019, the end of 2018, early 2019, I kind of convinced myself that the city wasn't ready for emerging technology just yet, because it's a working class city, right? But with Meta changing its name and everybody paying attention, it's like, I can't wait any longer. So either people are going to get it or they won't. And so my thing that I just want to leave people with is just don't be fearful of what you don't know. Lean into what you don't know. And find people that you believe know what they know, or that they can teach you, or at least be able to explain it to you in a way that you can understand it pretty quickly. But if you're looking for that, one of the things that I am doing, Amber, is actually doing Metaverse 101 classes for whole groups of small entrepreneurs, small business entrepreneurs. So if there's someone with a small group, let me know and we can do that. What is the Metaverse class? I have a paid training where business owners can come in and learn specifically how it applies to them specific. And then we have the boot camps where we help you build your own virtual event spaces. And then if you don't want to build your own space, you're like, Bianca, I just want to run an event. We got you, right? And so that those are the different ways that you can really start getting your feet wet and exploring what is possible for you and the members.
Bianca, you're amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Tell our listeners where they can find you. What are your handles?
That's a great question. So you can definitely hit us up at Brick Rose Exchange. So like brick on the wall, rose like a flower exchange. We're on LinkedIn. We're brickroseexchange.org as a website. Brick Rose Exchange as a G account. And then Brick Rose Exchange on Facebook. And if you're trying to follow me personally, it's my name, Bianca J. Jackson. And I'm in these streets, in these internet streets. Hey. And so, yeah, so those are the different ways that you can connect to me and also Brick Rose.
Well, thank you for being in these podcast streets. And as a person that lives in Baltimore City, thank you for being in these Baltimore streets. Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That is a wrap for the AI Decodes the System podcast. I really hope you enjoyed the conversation with today's guest. Please make sure you go to wherever you listen to this podcast and download, subscribe, like. Make sure you show us that love so we can know that you are loving the content we're putting out. Also, feel free to add a comment and rate us. Thank you all so much and see you next time.